And Grimm's fairy tales is how we know them now. And Grimm's mythology became enormous bestsellers, which is hard to believe because they're treated in a very scholarly fashion. And so these fairy tales were promulgated all over the place. And it's where we get the idea that the Victorians liked creepy, dark, scary fairy tales, because they, in fact, they were creepy, dark, and scary. There's one particularly gruesome one where the evil stepmother, there's always an evil stepmother, gets put inside a barrel with all nails nailed through the barrel pointing in. And then they roll the barrel down a hill. And that's just an appropriate story to tell children in the Victorian period. And so there's a very weird kind of schizophrenia where, on the one hand, the Victorians wanted to get all the sex and all the adult things out of their children's literature. And on the other hand, all these weird, gruesome things, burying a brother's bones under the juniper tree and having him come back in some way, or an arm that sticks out of a mountain and rewards a little girl until her brothers come and chop the arm off. It's a very depressing story that way. All of these stories become really, really popular, and they feed into this fantasy, because once people read some of these stories, the Grimm's fairy tales, or Andrew Lang, who's most famous for probably the Red Fairy Book, but he had 12 of them. There's the Red Fairy Book and the Green Fairy Book and the Blue Fairy Book and the Purple Fairy Book and so forth, that told all these stories in more of an English context. And so that whole idea of fairies and fairy tales is coming out of what we would consider to be anthropological work and being reworked. I should actually also bring in a tiny little bit about fairies, because there was this little furor in the Victorian period that maybe fairies were real, these little annoying fairies that floated around. There were some famous faked photographs of fairies, and everyone was into fairies and collecting fairies. And I think it again shows that the Victorians really wanted to have this active fantasy life. But at least for the adults, it had to somehow be justified. It had to be made scientific. Oh, these are photographs of fairies. It had to be made anthropological. Oh, these are collections of important things about our national mythology. But in fact, it was just feeding into the same thing that modern fantasy feeds into, which is a real desire for things that are fantastic and magical and perhaps interact with our psychology at a very deep level.
This ends Lecture 2. If you borrowed this course from a public library and would like your own copy of the course guide for future reference, call Recorded Books at 1-800-636-3399 and we'll send you a free copy. A shipping charge will apply.